Okay, good morning. I'll go to your to everybody. Shana Tova. First of all, I want to thank, a lot of people aren't here. So a lot of people are going to, I don't know, you could send your extend to the, your friends who didn't come today. I greatly appreciate the note and the gift last week from the collective group. It was extremely unexpected, very unnecessary, and very much appreciated by myself and my family. So I thank you very, very, very much. Not only for the gift, but also for your Hakar Sotov and your coming to learn with me every week. And it was really very, very thoughtful. So I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. So I'm going to start with Tzom Gedalia. I hope everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov and a uplifting Yom Tov. I want to start with Tzom Gedalia. Today's a fast day. I listened to a shiur in the car on the way here. Rabbi Mati Neuberger from the White Shul was only a 21-minute shiur. The first half was on Tzom Gedalia, and the second half was actually on Pas Yisrael. What's interesting that my husband, the shiur last night, Rabbi Willa gave between Mincha and Marv, yesterday Rosh Hashanah, was on the Chumrah of eating Pas Yisrael, breads, baked goods, baked by a Jew during the Aser Simei Teshuvah. And then I listened to the shiur this morning, but Rabbi Mati Neuberger, and he, I clicked on it because it was the shiur was called Tzom Gedalia Explained. It was from September 2017, 2 years ago. But I wanted to listen to it and figured I should know a little bit more about why I'm fasting. So we all know the basic story. That was Gedalia. So I'm going to start with today's Tzom Gedalia. So it was after Churban Bais Rishon, after the Babylonians destroyed the first temple. It was Rosh Hashanah 3339. Okay, 3339, to give you an idea, we're in 5780. So we're talking about over 2,000 years ago, after the Romans had destroyed the Babylonians. Did I say Romans the first time, or I said the Babylonians? Okay, so after Babel, under Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, the chief butcher, really destroyed Churban Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, and they took the Jews into Galus. They left in charge of a remnant of a Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael, Gedalia ben Achikam. And interestingly, I will tell you that after I listened to the shiur, I always park a few minutes ahead. So I went online also to read a little bit more about it on Chabad.org. So Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this, and I saw it online as well, that Jews who had fled to surrounding countries like Edom and Moab, when they heard that there was a Jewish population back in Judea, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz, so they came back. So Gedalia ben Achikam actually had a community of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael after Churban Bayis Rishon, and they started to plant, and they lived there, and they were successful. However, unfortunately, sometimes we can't get along. You know, there's a joke, it's not so funny, they find a Jew, he's stranded on an island. After many, many years, he's finally rescued, and there's only one Jew. He was somehow shipwrecked, and he gets lost on this island. After years, rescuers find him, and he shows them around his island, and he says, this is the hut where I lived, and this is the hut where I cook, this is my kitchen, and this is the hut where, I don't know, I go to the community center making a joke, and this is hut A, and this is hut B. So they said, what's hut A, and what's hut B? He's one Jew. He says, hut A is where I daven. Hut B is where I used to daven. So the joke is that there's one Jew, and he himself can't even. Yeah, it's a joke, Nebuch. So there was a man named Yishmael ben Netanel. Yishmael ben Netanel was jealous of Gedalia ben Achikam because Gedalia had power. He was the ruler. The Romans appointed him. He established a community. So Yishmael ben Netanel was jealous. Gedalia was given word that on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be murdered. This Yishmael is coming to kill you. Rosh Hashanah 3339. That's what it said on the Chabad website. And Gedalia refused to listen. Yishmael came with 10 men under the premise that he's going to have a yantif meal with Gedalia. And instead of having a yantif meal with Gedalia, he rises up and he kills him. He kills all his attendees. He kills any of the Babylonian soldiers who were also there. And this is why we fast on Tzom Gedalia. So Rabbi Neuberger said, why do we fast Davka to remember the death, the murder, I should say, of Gedalia? More than, I mean, Jews unfortunately, many pious and righteous Jews since the time of Churban Bayis Rishon through our history have been slaughtered. There are many tzaddikim u'tahorim who were slaughtered. Why is this specifically one of the fast days that commemorates Churban Bayis Hamikdash? So we know that there's Tzom Gedalia, there's Asar B'Tevis, there's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and there is Tisha B'Av. Why do we specifically have Tzom Gedalia? I don't know, there are many tzaddikim who were killed. Why specific? So Rabbi Neuberger said, I believe he quoted the Maharsha, that the reason is because this murder was unique. It wasn't just the murder of a pious Jew. It was a murder of a pious Jew by another Jew. This was unlike most of the rest of the Churban and the fatalities and the murder and the losses of the Tzaddikim, which were Babylonians to Jew, Romans to Jew, Crusader to Jew, Nazis to Jew. What was so unique about this? It represents the last stronghold in Eretz Yisrael after Churban Bayis Rishon. The final Jews went into exile, but it was brought about by our own hands. So sad. This is the show where I daven. This is the show where I used to daven. So therefore, Dafka, is there a connection, Rabbi Neuberger said, between the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah and Tzom Gedalia? Are we just mourning for Churban Beis Hamikdash? It's one of the fasts that commemorate Churban Beis Hamikdash. Is it just like Asar B'Tevis and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, or is there something unique? The uniqueness is it's not coincidental that it falls Dafka during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, because during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah we need to rectify, of course, all sins, but specifically, we know the Mishnah tells us in Yuma that Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Averos Shebein Adam Lechavero Ad Sheiratza Es Chavero. There is no kapara for sins Bein Adam Lechavero until you make up with the fellow. We discussed this last week, who you have harmed, who you have wronged. So specifically, Rabbi Neuberger said, and I believe again quoting the Maharsha, that the reason that we fast for Gedalia, not only to commemorate the destruction of the final stronghold in Judea after Churban Bayis Rishon, this was the final fall of Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael, when all the Jews actually went into exile, but it's Dafka to rectify the sin of treason, averos, trespass, hatred, sinus chinam, bein adam lechavera. What we need to work on during this time is that, and it's very interesting because just over Yom Tov, you know, everyone says the gematria for egos is chait, so you don't need Natzah Rosh Hashanah. Who's aware of this by a show of hands? So almost everybody. By a show of hands, who, is there anyone who eats, don't be embarrassed, I'm asking you a serious question. Is there anyone who eats nuts on Rosh Hashanah? Well, listen, if you don't eat nuts ever, so please don't, that doesn't count. I'm saying, do you put nuts in your salad? If you never eat nuts, so you never eat nuts. I'm talking about, is there anyone who doesn't eat, who eats nuts on Rosh Hashanah? Don't be embarrassed, just.
I put pistachio nuts in a new salad.
Okay, so you don't need to tell me what kind of nuts, just tell me if you eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. I'll tell you something cute. My husband said one of the rabbis' shiurim Thursday night, or I don't remember which night, was on Tashlich. No, on Shabbos, that you don't go do Tashlich, throwing bread in the water. You don't do that. So the rabbi said, who throws bread in the water? I'm going to turn away. I won't look. Just raise your hand, he said. So my husband raised his hand. My husband says he always remembers as a child throwing bread in the water. I said, what? I never threw bread in my mother-in-law's here, but she's my mother-in-law. So I'm saying this for fun. He says, I say, you don't throw bread in the water. So rabbi said, or Rabbi said, who throws bread in the water? I won't look. So do you use nuts or Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the people who do, raise your hand. I'll tell you, till the second day of Rosh Hashanah this year, I could raise my hand. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, I serve pistachios by dessert. Okay. So the first afternoon by Tashlich, I said to Rabbi Willick, I always thought it was like a skula thing, okay? I'm not into skulas. Like, I don't put a key in my challah. So, or we don't wear red strings, okay? So I said to Rabbi Willick, are we allowed to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah? Because I really thought it was like, you know, he said no. And it was very halacha, like it's not like skula, it's like the halacha. I said no. I said it's a halacha. He said no, nuts on Rosh Hashanah. So the second day we didn't have nuts. We were supposed to have nuts in our slivered almonds in our salad. The second night, no nuts. So I went home and I looked in the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has two se'ifim on foods you're supposed to eat on Leil Rosh Hashanah. was very, very interesting. I went through the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah of Rav Yosef Karo and then the Ramah of Moshe Israelis. Those are both from the 1500s. This is like the code of Jewish law with the glosses of the Mishnah Berurah. And I went over it at the table with everybody the second night. We had some company. So the Ramah writes Beferush. Rav Moshe Israelis writes Beferush. We do not eat gnats because egos equals chait. This is the Lashon, not in English, of the Ramah. You could all look it up inside. So it is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, in the code of Jewish law. So I know I'm telling you this too late, but I only learned it the first afternoon of Rosh Hashanah. So if you do eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah, we should all be well. But as Rosh Hashem next year, it's not the best idea. And I'm in the people who could raise my hand that, yes, I ate not the first lunch, but after that, no, I asked Rebbe, so I looked up. So first, the Rav Yosef Karo lists the foods, all the simanim. You should say Shanir Bezuchuyas Karima, and he says you should eat the head of a sheep. That's why Sfardim eat the head of a sheep, because the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo paskins the Sfardish halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Chofetz Chaim, because he lived in Radin in the 1800s, if you can't get the head of a sheep, you could use the head of a bird. You could imagine that they had a lot of chickens or any other animal. So what do we use? What's easy? The head of a fish. And you should say, Shani Elarosh, Velol and Zanim. So the Simanim are clearly there, Beferish. The egos, you don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. So I did ask Rabbi Willig, by the way. But again, I always say ask your own shayla. I tell you that. I'm telling you what happened to me. I said, Rabbi Willig, this whole time period not to eat nuts? He said, no, only Rosh Hashanah. I know there are some people who don't eat through Sukkot. And if you look up the halacha, so that would be like an extension of, or like a school of. If you do that, that's fine. That's not what's brought down. What's brought down is the halacha is we don't eat egos during this time period because egos, nuts, equals chait. Sin. The gematria of egos, one second, please, is chait. By the way, Rav Herschel Schachter says, and I've heard his son, Rav Shai Schachter, say this multiple times, that his father teaches, don't forget that the gematria of chait is also chait. And you're staying away from egos, nuts, which is much easier than staying away from sin. Don't forget, the numeric value of sin is also sin. What's my point? Before I take questions or comments, the Mishnah Berurah points out, and you could all go look this up. It's under Mishnah Berurah, Rosh Hashanah. First, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber. Then you'll see the Ramah. It's very easy Hebrew. You could all read it. And then I also learned the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah does write. These are all good simanim, but the best siman is not to become angry, shalola hachis, not to become angry, and this is the best siman. So it's not just like a meme that somebody may have WhatsApped you, because I did get it by WhatsApp. The best siman is not to become angry. These are all actually brought down in the code of Jewish law. So yes, we do eat the simanim, and they have special power. We should not trust that the fish head is going to bring us a good new year. The Yibar Shalom Bezer Hashem is going to bring us a good new year, but we eat certain symbolic foods. We also do not eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because egos is chay. We eat the head of a sheep, but the Mishnah Berurah says we can't get at the head of a sheep. Oh, by the way, this is very interesting. The Ramah says, why the head of a sheep? To remind us of Akedas Yitzchak. We read Akedas Yitzchak, we do Tashlich because of Akedas Yitzchak, by the way. So we, because to remind us of Akedas Yitzchak, so the Mishnah Berurah says it would be better to eat the head of, not a sheep, the head of a Isle, a ram, because if you really want to remember, so me and the kids, we sat at the table and we were learning this, we should put the whole head on the table, the horns, the shofaros, and all. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it's really, if you want to remember Kayas Yitzchak, it's really better to eat not the head of a sheep, but the head of a Isle, a ram. If you can get it, you can eat the head of an oaf bird. You can imagine chickens are very easy to procure in Europe in the 1800s, or any other animal. We have traditionally, therefore, eaten a fish. But the Mishnah Berurah does write that even though we do eat all these simanim, it's a very important siman not to become angry during these days. So we understand that in addition to, I don't want to say more important because these are halachos, but it's easy to eat the head of a fish. It's not so easy to always be patient. It's easy to eat rimonim and gezer and silka, shayistalko evenu. It's not so easy to always control our emotions. You're coming from shul and it's late and everyone's hungry. We have to wait for the food to warm up and this one's cranky and this one's tired. And you're also tired and you're going as fast as you can. It's not so easy to be patient. So Mishnah Berurah writes, Beferish, that you have to work on not being angry. So it's not just a meme. What does it have to do with the first part of the shiur? I was talking about some Gedalia. So what happened is, what did we say? That he came. Why do we dafka fast during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah? For the murder of Gedalia, which is part of the commemoration of the first temple destruction, Churban Bayis Rishon, because it was a transgression of the sin of Bein Adam Lechavero dafka on Rosh Hashanah, when the best siman is to learn how to control our temper and all other negative midos. Do I have proof that the best siman is to control your temper and all the negative midos? Yes. What's the proof? The Mishnah Berurah writes that. Beferish, the Chavetz Chaim, the Gaon in Midos, writes explicitly that we have to control our temper. Before I take, there are two comments and questions. I will tell you that they're also brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, because one of my sons is very, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, very, I don't know, stark. So he says he can't sleep. Rosh Hashanah, I'm sure you all have heard, why don't you sleep? Because if you sleep, it'll be a sleepy year. So this child is very makbid on his afternoon Shabbos/Yom Tov nap. It's as part of his Avodas Hashem. He has a Shabbos alarm clock. He wakes up extremely early Shabbos morning to learn before Shul. Then he goes to the rabbi Shira. Then, like, he won't have friends Shabbos. I mean, he's a young kid. He won't have friends Shabbos afternoon. He sleeps because he learns, then Shul, then Su'uda, then sleep, then learns, then Mincha, then Marv. Shalosh Shuras, he won't sleep. He sleeps. So he says, I can't sleep. So I said, you know, maybe you could say, I'm sleeping, so I should have a year of Avodas Hashem. Now I'm sleeping, so I should have a year that's sleepy, but he only dozed for half an hour because he couldn't help, but he fell asleep because everyone else was sleeping. Fine. So while I'm looking at the halachos of what we can eat on Rosh Hashanah, continues the halacha, I don't remember if it's the Mechaber or the Ramah who writes, we also don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah afternoon because it's a mazel for a sleepy year. So in our copy of the Mishnah Berurah, which is put up by Dirshu, on the side there are glosses of contemporary poskim, and this is very interesting. First of all, it's based on a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that on Rosh Hashanah you make your mazel for the year. So whatever you do now, if you sleep, your mazel is going to be sleepy. If you're angry, your mazel will be anger. If you talk Lashon Hara, your mazel will be Lashon Hara. So you shouldn't sleep, so you shouldn't have a mazel dik year of sleep. However, in the glosses on the side, one who does nothing, who wastes his time, the Lashon is mevatel, who is mevatel the man, it's like he's sleeping anyway. So if a person's sitting and reading a romance novel, excuse me, then you're like you're doing nothing. You would be better off sleeping. This is brought down. Okay, so if you're doing nothing, it's like you're sleeping anyway. So what would be better to do? Sleep. Rav Yonasan Ibrish says we have a halacha on Tisha B'Av not to learn Torah because Torah makes us happy. So we, Torah makes us happy. But if a person is wasting their time and doing things they shouldn't be doing on Tisha B'Av, then it would be better to learn Torah because it's appropriate. That's what Rav Yonasan Ibrish brings down. If you're doing nothing, if you're watching shows you shouldn't watch and going places you shouldn't watch because it's Tisha B'Av, if you don't want to learn Torah, then what should you do? Learn Torah. So the glosses bring down that if a person is doing nothing, it's like they're sleeping. So I may as well sleep. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. I showed this to my son. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik V'Kol Shevrachu, is like the Rosh Kol B'nei Hagola, the God of Hadar, the Posek Hadar. Shlomo Zalman writes that if a person needs his sleep, so that his tefillos will be mechazek, if he needs his sleep to strengthen, so he uses koach, that's the Lashon he uses, koach, strength to daven, for his avodas Hashem, then he should sleep kedarko. He should sleep as is his way, because he's not sleeping to waste time. Why is he sleeping? Exactly why my son sleeps. Why is he sleeping? Because he needs koach for learning, and he needs koach for davening. He says, what should a person do during this time instead of sleep? You should learn. If you feel your head getting heavy, this is the Lashon, Rosh Koveid Alav. If you feel your head getting heavy, then you should sleep. And Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that if he needs to sleep for Koach of Tefillah, he should sleep. So it's not so pasha when we throw around these terms that we don't know. Don't eat nuts. not to his egos. Don't sleep over sleepy years. That's so befeirish that a person should not sleep. If a person regularly sleeps an hour and a half Shabbos because it's part of their Avodas Hashem, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, you should sleep. You need your kach. So I showed it to him. This was only the second night when we went through this. It was after the first day. But we have to know that it's not the things that are thrown around by the Hamon Am. It's not so pashut. Sometimes it's worth it to delve a little bit deeper to understand what we're doing, why we're doing, and what the halacha actually is. Okay, there were two questions. Yes? Wait, could you talk louder?
I don't see that the gematria adds up. Chet is 18.
Okay. Did you you write them Malay or Shalem?
Chet is three letters.
Right? And how did you spell Egos?
Egos with above.
With above.
If you take out the above, Egos is 17. So what am I missing?
I don't know. I don't have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me, and I didn't do the gematria. That's where it's written. You could look it up. I have to look it up.
Add up the letters. Add up the numerical value. It's 17.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
And on that level, 17 is Tov. So why can't you use that?
This is what is brought down. This is what the Rama writes. I have to look up. That's what the Rama writes, okay? Yes, anything else? There was another question. Was that your comment about Tov? Oh, okay. Okay, so it's not so posh to say, but the point is we're really talking about good. Yes? Okay, so then how exactly do we translate egos? We have a custom not to eat nuts. Some people say egos is hazelnuts. How do we exactly translate? I'll tell you something funny. I made a peanut butter chocolate mousse pie. It was a new recipe. It was absolutely delicious for dessert. So then we said, oh no, what about the pie? This is not a joke. So I told my husband, ask Rabbi Willig. So after Marv's like, he asked him. So I told my husband before, I said, peanuts are not nuts. I don't know if anyone's aware of that. Peanuts are legumes. Nuts grows on trees, almonds, cashews, Brazil nuts. Peanuts are legumes. They grow in the ground like legumes from the ground. Peanuts, therefore, are ha'adama. Nuts are ha'eit. So they're not really nuts. So Rabbi Willig said, we're makel on peanuts, and it's fine. So you could enjoy the pie. Then we were crazy. The second day, someone sent us a beautiful chocolate platter, and some of the chocolates were, what are those things called? Viennese crunch. What's on the outside of Viennese crunch? So the kids said, come here. But I said, no one eat the Viennese crunch. Yes.
No,
that
would be 18.
That's 17.
Okay. Okay. So there was a question in the back. I can't see you, so I can't hear anything you're saying. Wasn't your hand up? I'm not dismissing your comment. I don't know. I can't address this. I don't know an answer to it right now. This is really how it's brought down. You could go home and look up the Shulchan Aruch. What? You believe me. Okay. Last week, Shabbos in Ashir. Who said I spoke at her granddaughter's house? So Shabbos at the Shir, one woman raised her hand and she quoted a very interesting Kliyakar. So I said, that's so interesting. It was related to the Shir. So I said, I'd like to know the source. Can you tell me where that is? She says, you think I made this up? So I said, no, I believe you, but I like to see inside before I re-quote. So that's what's written. You, again, I don't know. Yes, there was another question. Yes. I cannot hear you.
How did you connect
Akedah
Yitzchak to
Tashlich? What did
you
say?
How do you connect
Akedah
Yitzchak
to Tashlich? Okay, so I spoke about this in my Wednesday night shiur, which is online. How do we equate Tashlich to Akedah Yitzchak? Medrash Tanchuma, you should look it up. It's a beautiful Medrash Tanchuma inside, actually. Medrash Tanchuma tells us by the Akedah, by Yera, okay, this Parak Chaf Beis. Medrash Tanchuma is very beautiful that the Satan appeared in many forms to prevent Avram from doing the Akedah. First, he appeared as an old man. He said to Avram, where are you going? The Medrash says, Avram says, I'm going to pray. He says, who goes to pray with fire, wood, and a knife? And he says to Yitzchak, he appeared as a young man. He said to Yitzchak, where are you going? And he said, I'm going with my father. He says, you know how many years your mother cried over you? Now she had you. Now you're going to shaft yourself. He appeared in all these disguises. Avram and Yitzchak kept going till he made a raging river. And the Medrash says that Avram was up to his neck. And he said, Hashem, I'm doing what you commanded me to do. I'm trying to do your mitzvahs. If I drown, there's going to be no yichidus of Hashem in the world. Who's going to bring the awareness of God to this world to remember the raging river? And that Avram overcame his yetzer hara to do the Akedah. We should overcome our yetzer hara that might appear as a river. The river represents we throw away our sins. We have to overcome our yetzer hara, our taiva to sin, just like Avram did to do Ratzon Hashem. Furthermore, the Zohar brings down that Akedah Yitzchak was on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah reading second day is the Akedah. We blow the shofar, which is as Yitzchak. So does that answer your question? Okay. So going back to Gedaliah ben Achikam, is everyone still with me? Right. So Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed because of the sin of murder, but it was sin as chinam. So this is indeed a tremendous part of mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. We all know this. We spoke about this in the summer. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin as chinam. But you see that the last remnant of Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael was actually what? Destroyed because of sin as chinam also. To remember that Gedaliah was murdered by a Jew, Yishmael ben Nisana, who was jealous of him, on Rosh Hashanah. The day when we coordinate the Ribbono Shel Olam as Melech Malchei HaMelachim, everybody acknowledges that God is the king. He's not only Avinu, he's also Malkeinu, with the premise of eating bread together. He slaughtered him. Therefore, this ends the presence of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and they are exiled. Okay, that's why some of us may be fasting. The second half of Rabbi Neuberger's shiur, excuse me, was on, whew, I have a long day of teaching today, Baruch Hashem. Not only am I fasting, I'm so tired. Baruch Hashem. I did sleep Rosh Hashanah. The second half of Rabbi Neuberger's shiur was on Pas Yisrael / Pas Altar. I am not a posek. I tell you many, many times, you must ask your own child. I told you that by Adlakas Neros, Rabbi Willock told me my early candlelighting doesn't mechoyev the whole house. Rabbi Willock said, we don't eat nuts the whole time, just Rosh Hashanah. Everyone asks their own child. Good? We're okay? Yes. So don't tell me your rabbi told you differently. It's very possible he did tell you differently. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chaimim. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you the shaylos we asked and the piskei halacha we were given. So now I'm going to tell you literally a very uneducated brief synopsis of why some people are makbid to eat only Pas Yisrael during this time. Again, if you want further details, you must consult with a competent rav. Please don't ask me in-depth halacha about this topic. It is way beyond the scope of my ability to answer. Okay. Some people during this time period are makbid to only eat what we call Pas Yisrael, bread baked by a Jew. So Rabbi Neuberger said something interesting. He says, you think I'm going to give up Entenmann's for my whole life? For 10 days, God, I could give up Entenmann's, but not for the whole year, but for 10 days. So first of all, he addressed a very interesting question, which is a big question I spoke about last week at that main group. Paulo heard me the shiur online. You're all welcome to go hear the shiur online. Are we tricking Hashem? Do you understand? Now I'm going to eat from my local bakery and only, you know, from the Jewish man in town. But next week I'll buy Arnold's. I'm tricking Hashem. What? No. So what am I doing?
Can't trick Hashem.
Right. So what am I doing?
Tricking yourself. Giving yourself.
You're not really tricking yourself either. Rabbi Neuberger explained a beautiful answer based on Rav Elio Dessler, I believe he called the Michtam Elio. He explained a beautiful answer. He says the Balei Musar all talk about this. Let's say a person takes, you're going to say five extra kapitach during this time. Okay, you want to daven extra, you say five extra kapitach. You say, I'm only doing it for the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. I don't have time for this in my regular schedule. After, I'm going back to not saying. So again, what are you doing? So you're not tricking anybody. Certainly you can't trick the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you're also not tricking yourself. Rabbi Neuberger said, what you're doing is putting on your best side of yourself. You're showing who you really can be. I'm going to explain it better. You're showing who you really can be. You know that deep inside of you, there's potential to really be a person who does not rely on the kula of paspalter, which is eating na from a Jewish baker. You're really a person who can say an extra 5 kapitach a day. You're really a person who can go to Ashir the whole year. He gave a great mashal that really brings this point home. You go into someone's house, and I was smiling because I'm sure everyone can relate to this. And over the fireplace, on the mantle, they have family pictures. And you see this picture and you say to the Baal Bayis, who is that? They say, it's me. It's you. It doesn't look anything like you. I know it was at my wedding, at my son's wedding. I was all dressed up. I had my sheita blown. He used suit, okay? It was a man giving a share. I had my makeup. My sheita was perfect. I had a fancy dress. That's you. Why don't you put up a picture of how you really look when you're in your Adidas sneakers and your jean skirt? That's you. But that's who I really can be. It's a great mashal. You're not tricking yourself, and of course you're not tricking the Rebbe Shlomo, you're not tricking anybody else either. You're showing that you potentially can be better. Why don't we pick up pictures when we look like a shmata? I met somebody in Gourmet Glot, my first cousin's mother-in-law, who lives in Woodmere, so we made up, I had to give her something before Yontif, so we made up to meet in Gourmet Glot. I said, you know, she couldn't get to my house. It was Sunday Erev Yontov. I said, Connie, I'm going to Gourmet Glot. She said, fine, I'll meet you there. She said, but I look like a wreck. I said, don't worry, me too. And the funny thing is that sometimes if it's close shots, I run to the grocery, like just in a ticho and no makeup, I see people. Because when I go out of my five towns, I generally meet people I know, and they don't even recognize me. Right? I have to introduce myself, because if I see someone, I like to say hello. Right? Do a double take. Who is that? So why don't you put up a picture like that of yourself over your mantle? That's who you really are. You come and tell us, you say, who is that? That's me. That's you. It looks nothing like you. That's who I can be. So that's who we can be in Ruchnias. That's who I really can be. Of course I'm not tricking the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'm not even tricking myself. I'm reminding myself that for this hour, a whole year, I really cannot talk Lashon Hara. I really can say an extra 5 kapitach of Tehillim. It's setting a very high standard, but it's the picture of who I really can be. That's not you, that is me. If I really strive, that can be me. That's who I am. So during this time period, I thought it was a very good mashal. It really helps us understand that we're not tricking anybody. We're putting out our best front. 1 second, please. Hold your question. I will bleed later. Come just like I came to those women. I just want to finish my thought. So during this time period, many Jews, and this is also brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. I did not look it up yet inside. I just was listening on the way here. But it's funny because this is what Rabbi Willig spoke about yesterday. And so my husband came home and he gave me the rundown of Rabbi Willig's shir yesterday afternoon. Many have a custom not to eat pas. Not pas akum, pas palter. What is that? We're going to say in a minute. During these 10 days. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this down. That it is a custom of Rov Yisrael to be machmir. The majority of Israel has taken upon themselves not to eat Entenmann's, not to eat Thomas prepackaged bagels, not to eat Arnold sandwich things. I don't know. During this time, but to go to your local bakery and specifically buy whatever is there. Why did Chazal prohibit us from eating Goyish bread, excuse me, why? Because my husband explained to me yesterday, Rabbi Willig said, in the Altaheim, in Temple times, in the olden days, in Galus, not like today, where we have big factories. So you had a Nachri baker, and who worked in the store? Probably his wife, and probably his beautiful daughter. One was 18, and one was 16, and they helped bake, and it was sweaty, and maybe this Rabbi Willig didn't say this, I'm embellishing, and maybe they weren't dressed so tznius, and every morning you go into the bakery to buy bread, and sometimes you send your son to the bakery to buy bread, and who's working behind the counter? Not the nice Beis Yaakov girl who works in her father's business, but the Nachri. And after going into the bakery so many times, you become friendly. Now, Shev, Barar Lot, Smicha, you're a Ben Bayis Etzla. That's how Bilam got the Jews to sin. One time you visit her tent, two times you visit her tent, ninely the woman says, you're a Ben Bayis. We learned this Gemara inside. We learned this Gemara, everyone. Have a seat. You're a regular. Choose whatever you want. And before you know it, They're going to intermarry. That's what Chazal say. It's not a joke. It will come from a relationship when you're going to the bakery every day. So Chazal say, you should not buy that bread because it's not only about the bread, it's about the relationship that's going to form over the bread. What should you do? Buy Pas Yisrael. And if he has a nice daughter working in the shop and you have a nice son, it's a perfect shidduch. It's wonderful. Go to the bakery. Buy the bread. They'll have a good marriage and they'll build a bais nehmeh by Yisrael. We have a kula, a leniency, called pas palter. I don't know what that word means, okay? We have a kula called pas palter, which means, that's how my husband explained it to me, again, you must ask a rav if you want more in-depth detail. I can't give it to you. I'm telling you that. Nobody is going to the Entenmann's factory and falling in love with the machine. Okay? They're big factories. They're sterile work environments. All the workers have to wear hats. Everything's covered up. It's mass-scale production. You're not making friends. You're buying Entenmann's on the supermarket shelf in your kosher supermarket, most likely, with a hechsher, because the bread itself is kosher. There's no threat of forming a relationship with the woman who's baking the bread, because who's making the bread? The huge mixer is making the donuts, and the glazing machine is glazing them, and the boiler, however it works, is boiling them. Then they package it, they put it on a truck, the delivery man delivers when you're still sleeping, it goes on the shelf, and you buy it in the supermarket. So this is the kula to rely on for buying what's called pas palter. I don't know what, does anyone know what the word means? This isn't a trick question. Oh my gosh, you had a question. I said I'm going
to
address your question. My husband said, he said that Chal of Yisrael is not in the same category, that we have the tshuva from Rav Moshe where we can rely on, they're not, they have standards. The same son who I mentioned before only keeps Chal of Yisrael, so most of the products of Master are Chal of Yisrael anyways. But we can rely, and I don't know, the tshuva, Rav Moshe I know does say a Yerushamayim will not rely on this kula. But Rabbi Willick said, interestingly, it's not in the same category. My brother sent me, forwarded a WhatsApp from a halacha chat last night, where also it said that those who keep Chal of Stam do not have to keep Chal of Yisrael during this time. Okay? I'm not telling you what to do. How many times did I say that so far? Five? Okay? This is a Seres Mei Teshuva halacha from my brother, who does, is Machbir on Chal of Yisrael. Okay? In terms of pas akum, those are leniency bakery bread, baked by non-Jews during the year, should be strict during these days to eat only bread baked by Yayid. We just explained the reasoning for it, based on Rabbi Willig's shir. If it would take, okay, 1 second. Cakes, cookies, pretzels are considered like bread in terms of pas Yisrael and pas akum and pas palter. Cereals are not considered like bread. If you eat chal of stam, you do not have to eat chal of Yisrael. I'm not telling you what to do, but it's interesting that I saw this in two sources last night, both from Rabbi Willig, he spoke about it in the Shir, and from this halacha chat that my brother, who himself is Makbid on Chal of Yisrael, sent it to me. Okay? So it seems to be a chumrah, and it's brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, that many are machmir specifically on breads during this time. Okay? And again, Rabbi Neuberger Shir, the first half was on Gedaliah ben Achikam and the murder, and the second half was on this very topic of pas palter. So nobody's worried that you're going to go into the factory and, you know, fall in love with the woman baking the Entenmann's bread and marry her. It's not going to happen. They won't even let you into the factory. Okay? So you buy the bread on your own supermarket shelf. Well, you should be machbi during this time not to rely on that kula. You should make an effort to eat. It is kosher to eat pas Yisrael during this time. So it's something very interesting. Rabbi Neuberger continued and he said, why specifically during this time about bread, pas palter, pas akum, pas Yisrael, a person should always feel their lifnei Hashem, just like one who went up to the Mikdash had to be in a state of tahara. So too, we are Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo, Kirubios Karo, famous Pasuk, Seek Hashem when he can be found, call him when he is close. During this time, Mikol Chatoseichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru, Kibiyam Hazah, Yechaper Aleichem, So because, one second, I believe it's Parshas. Forget that. I want to tell you the source. If I can find it. I don't have it on me. So you should always feel that you're lifnei Hashem. When you go up to the mikdash, you always have to be in a state of tahara. You can't eat in a state of tumah. So when you're eating during this time period, you should feel that you're in a state of tahara. You're always before Hashem. So, interesting, Rabbi Neuberger did not connect the first part of the shiur with the second part of the shiur. I actually emailed him, because I parked early, so it was only a 21-minute shiur. I listened to the second half two times to see if he made a connection between the first half and the second half of the shiur. And even the second time listening, I don't think that he made a connection unless I missed something. But I was thinking of something interesting. Okay, I don't know, I could be going out on a limb. I emailed him, I don't know if he's going to respond at all, if I'll even get a response. Okay, so this is my own thought, so if it's wrong, it's me that's wrong. I think there's something very interesting. It's a big question. Rabbi Willick spoke about it. Rabbi Neuberger Shapir spoke about it. Why Dafka pass Yisrael to be makbid on during this time? Why not something else? Why not Lashon Hara? Rabbi Willick said, why not Lashon Hara? He said, because you should always not talk Lashon Hara. Okay? This is a chumrah. Because pas palter is kosher. You understand those entomins, that Thomas, that Arnold sandwich thing. It's kosher. So this is a chumrah. Rabbi Willick said you can't be machmer in something that's halacha. Lashon hara, you're not going to talk extra. Rabbi Willick said you should never talk lashon hara. It's not a chumrah, it's a halacha not to talk lashon hara. So you can't say this, now I'm not going to talk lashon hara, after I'm going to talk lashon hara. Rabbi Willick said, what do you mean? You should never talk lashon hara. You can't say I'm going to be machmer. You can't be machmer on what's pashat halacha. This is a chumrah that many do during this time. So after listening to Rabbi Neuberger's shir, I had the following thought. I don't know if it's correct or it's incorrect. It's my own. But I thought it was very interesting. The first half of the shir, he spoke about Gedai ben Achikam, who was murdered by Yishmael ben Netanya. Second half of the shir, he spoke about this chumrah not to eat pas palter, because of the danger of pas akum and assimilation. So I thought it's very interesting that in the shir he connected these two topics, which seemingly have nothing to do with each other. But maybe they do. If you recall, I told you that Yishmael ben Nisanel came, it was Rosh Hashanah 3339, according to Chabad.org. And Gedaliah was warned. Does anyone remember what I told you? He came with the premise that he was going to be... What? I can't hear what you said. Oh, he was coming to eat the meal with him. He was coming on the premise. Let's look at the words pastor saw metaphysically. What does metaphysically mean? Not physically. Non-literally. Homiletically. Here were two Jews... perhaps had different political viewpoints, and Gedaliah refused to accept the Lashon Hara that someone was coming to kill him, that his brother was, I could understand that the Romans want to kill me. Sheyitamu sonenu. I could understand the Babylonians want to kill me. Sheyikarsu sonenu. I could understand. But if he wants to kill me, I'm not a Mekabel. I'm sure he just wants to come eat a meal. So he comes to eat a meal. And during the duration of the meal, what does he do? He gets up and he kills Gedaliah. Not only Gedaliah, but all his attendants, as well as the Babylonian officers there. So it's extremely interesting that to be misaking the sin of Bein Adam Lechaveiro, to be misaking, to rectify sins of transgression between man and fellow man, we specifically take upon ourselves a chumrah that relates to eating a meal. We begin the weekdays of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah with a fast day. The first 2 days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah are Rosh Hashanah themselves. The first day after Rosh Hashanah is a fast of Gedaliah. So I'm Gedaliah. What are we commemorating? We already said we're commemorating the final Jewish presence in the land of Judea. Post-Churban Bayis Rishon was finished off. How was it finished off? Because Yishmael ben Nisanel came and he killed Gedaliah. So maybe we could propose that the chumra of only eating pas Yisrael during this time is to metaphysically, hashkafically, homiletically, not literally. Literally, there's a halacha, we explained it. To remind us that when you sit down with another Jew, your hashkafas might be different, your mahalach might be different, your dress might be different, your shul might be different, he has shul A and you have shul B, that's where I daven, that's where I used to daven. You should sit down over a meal with a fellow Yid, you should sit down with your pas and make sure it's in the spirit of pas Yisrael. Not only the halacha of why we don't eat pas akum during this time, and why we don't rely, and by the way, then you have to go home and change your cracker brands and buy new bread, oh my gosh. Okay, so why? Because we want to show that we are being mitakein, we are making a rectification, a repair for the sin that destroyed the final stronghold of Jewish presence in Judea post Bais Rishon. What brought it about was a breach in Pas Yisrael. When you sit down and you have a meal with somebody, it represents brotherhood. You generally don't invite your enemies to your table, right? You generally do not. It represents a sense of camaraderie. Am I saying it right? Yeah. Sense of camaraderie. A sense of love between brothers. You break bread with who? With the people that you love. So maybe we're makbid. I have no idea if this is correct, but it makes sense to me hashkafically. That hashkafically we're makbid dafka on this chumra to only eat pas Yisrael to rectify the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam that came because of sin iskrim. There was no pas Yisrael at that table. There was only pas sinah. There was bread of terrible hatred. Not only was it terrible hatred, but what day was it on? Rosh Hashanah itself. The day when v'yamlichu melach, when we appoint God as the king over all of creation. Not only my king, he's also the king of you, and he's also the king of you, and he's also the king of you. So therefore, perhaps this could be a hashkafic reason why we're makbid to eat pas Yisrael. When do we start the weekdays of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? Today. What's today? Tzom Gedaliah. Whose death do we commemorate today? Gedaliah, why is it worse than all other deaths of all other tzaddikim related to the Choraban? Everyone is a world. Every death of every Jew is a tragedy. Because this wasn't a death at the hands of the Babylonians. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar. And it wasn't by the hands of the Romans. And it wasn't by the hands of the Crusaders. My kids make a little fun of me because they say, you know, I could always be like depressing. I'll give you an example of what I meant. Yesterday they were fighting. Like play fighting on the couch. Two of the kids. So one says, the other's trying to suffocate me, trying to kill me, pills. They were like laughing. It was like the end of a ready 2-day antif. So trying to suffocate me. This one suffocated himself. So I said, please don't. You know, they're going to kill me. I said, don't kill each other. So then after a few minutes, I told them that the Rav speaks about in his kinos on his commentary on the kinos for Tisha B'Av, that during the time of the Balei Tosfos, which was in the beginning of the year, like 1100, it was the time of the Crusades, and they got many shailas from people relating to the shaila of if you have to take your own life or kill someone because the Crusaders are coming. And the Rav tells one specific shaila that came to one of the Balei Tosfos. A man saw the Crusaders approaching his house, and he killed his three children, and he killed his wife, because they understood what would happen if they were captured by the Crusaders. They took their own lives, and the Crusaders at the last minute turned around and ran away. So the man, this is Mamish brought down in The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, commentary on the Kiddush and Tisha B'Av. And he wanted to know, is it possible to do teshuva? What should he do now? Killed his three children, he killed his wife, he was about to kill himself, and the Crusaders ran away. What should he do? It's all black humor. That's what I told my kids when they were fighting with pillows. But the reality is that Gedaliah was not killed by our enemies. We eat beets. They should be destroyed. We eat dates. My son says that people should have a lot of dates. It's true. But we also eat these things. It's a siman. We spoke about the simanim. They're brought down on the Shulchan Aruch. And they're discussed by the Ramah. And they're brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. They have real power to them. You have the proper kavana. Our enemies should be destroyed. But Gedaliah was not killed by the Babylonians. He was killed by a Jew. It was supposed to be a table of Pas Yisrael. Let's sit down together. Let's work out our differences. Is there any time of the year when we should work out our differences? If not, now. As the Mishnah says, Beferush in Yuma, the last Mishnah in Yuma, Perches Mishnah Tes, Avera Shabein Adam Lamakom Yom HaKippur Mechaper. You did Teshuvah, you went to this week of Shabbos, Shuvah this Shabbos, you go through the process of Teshuvah. What is the process of Teshuvah? It's halachic stages as defined by the Rambam. Charata al ha'avar, you regret your sin. Azivat tachei, you leave the sin. Kabbalah al ha'asir, I will never do it again. Vidui, oral confession. These are the four halachic stages of Teshuvah. Teshuvah is a halacha, it's not a nice idea. It's brought down by the Rambam. Perak Aleph and Perak Beis of Hilchos Teshuvah. Charata, I'm really sorry, I ate pork. Aziva Sachei, I leave the sin. You can't say I'm sorry meaning pork while you're eating the bacon bits. You move away from it. Kabbalah al ha'asid, I will never do it again. Vidui. Reitcha chatan fenecha, b'machal v'mishta, oral confession. So the Mishnah says, in Yuma b'feirush, sins before God, i.e. Bein Adam le, I'm sorry, pointing the wrong way. Sins before God, Bein Adam le makom, Yom HaKippurim mechaper. So it's not a trick, by the way. You're not tricking yourself, you're not tricking Hashem. You have to go through the proper process, halachic stages of teshuvah. Then Yitzumo shal Yom mechaper, Yom Kippur will mechaper. However, says the Mishnah, Avero shobein Adam lechavero, ein yom hakipurim mechaper, ad sheyirat says chavero. There is no kapara for averos between sins, between man and fellow man, until he appeases his friend. We spoke some of this last week. So what does that have to do with being mitakein, the sin of the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam? Allah, is it an accident, asked Rabbi Neuberger, that we davka fast now for the murder of Gedaliah during the Seder Yemei Teshuvah? He said no. He believed, I said already, he quoted the Maharsha, I think it was the Maharsha. Why? Because it was a breach by Adam Mechaver. But I'm taking it even a step further. What does it have to do with Pas Palter? Pas Akum, Pas Yisrael? A lot. It should have been a meal of Pas Yisrael, metaphysically, when one Jew can sit with another Jew. When one Jew can say to another Jew, listen, we've had political differences. Come have a seat in my cave. I don't know exactly how it worked in the old days. Come have a seat in my tent. I forgive you. Let's work it out. It was a total breach in Pas Yisrael. And therefore, perhaps it has become a custom for Jews as a large and mass community to be machmir during this time period on not relying on Pas Palter. Yes, for these 10 days, God, I'm not eating antimans. Well, you're not eating anything on Yom Kippur anyway. But for these 9 days, I'm not eating that food. I'm only eating bread baked by a Jew to hashkafically remind ourselves of the importance of Bein Adam Lechaveiro, of inviting people to our table, even someone maybe you don't get along with, and making sure that your food and your table is always Pas Yisrael. Yes?
I can't help but think about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa.
Okay. It was also over a meal. Is that what you were going to say?
A meal, but it was also a terrible embarrassment, which ultimately brought the Chorban Beit HaMikdash in that time as well. And it could be a takana why we eat Pas Yisrael to be atoning for that as well.
Okay, that's also interesting because Kamta and Bar Kamta was also about a meal.
And a Jew versus another Jew.
And it was also Jew versus Jew. And it was over a meal. That's very interesting. So you have the same idea that over a meal, so the Gemara says that in Gittin, Beferish, that because of Kamta and Bar Kamta, Nechav Yerushalayim, this is also one of the fasts to commemorate Churban Yerushalayim. And it's interesting that it was over a meal. It shows you that food has a lot of power. No, I really didn't even mean that as a joke. I did not, what? I did not mean that as a joke. I meant it seriously, that when you look at our Yom Tovim and when you look at our Shabbosos, Chazal say, Ein simcha ala babasar v'ein simcha ala babasar v'yayin. There is no simcha. No, you have to have meat and you have to have wine. So you see that so much of our rituals, you know, that's another joke. It's not so funny. I don't usually tell this one over. The A hot and B hot is much funnier. But there's another joke. You know, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. I'm sure you've all heard it. It's really not so funny, but it's trying to illustrate the fact that everything we do is centered around food. What we're really trying to do in our lives is elevate the gashmias, which we need for physical survival, and make it into ruchnius. But we also have a tremendous concept of being misameach others. And I was thinking that maybe that's why Sukkot falls right after this time period when we have dafka, a mitzvah, not only to be misameach ourselves, but hager, hayasim, halevi, almana, asher, bisharecha, that you don't only have to be misameach yourself, you have to go out of your way and join and invite and have someone else at your meal too. And maybe symbolically, that's why we invite the Ushpizin. We're showing that we want to have guests. We want it to be true pasusral. We want ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam to come to our table. And Gedalia in his murder by Yishmael is the exact opposite of this idea. It represents sinas chinam. Anything that we have to do during this time must always be about bringing our fellow Jew closer. You know, it's so interesting. Just last night, I'm rereading. I read it many years ago, but I'm rereading the biography of Rav Aryeh Levin, a tzaddik from Yerushalayim, a tzaddik from Jerusalem. They republished it now. I think there's a new title. Does anyone know? I don't know. Anyway, I'm reading the old one. It's called The Tzaddik in Our Time. What's it called? It's amazing. And he was most famously known as the father of prisoners. I'm up to the chapter on father prisoners. I hope to finish it last night, but it was a very, very long chapter, so I did not. But one story I read last night is so interesting. In the time of the British, they would arrest and imprison those Jews, Etzel, Lechi, Haganah, anyone that they felt was fighting against the British dominion over it. So talking about Churban, talking about the last Jewish presence, okay, how long it lasted. So one fellow's son was imprisoned. He was captured, he was imprisoned. And the father came to Rav Aryeh Levin, and he said, my son was taken to the central jail. You can go today, you can see it. It's by the Russian compound. I haven't been since I was a child, but you can go there. And he came with his tefillin, and he said to Rav Aryeh Levin, my son left his tefillin. He left his tefillin. He doesn't have his tefillin. The morning will come, and he won't be able to put on tefillin. It will be a terrible tzara for him. Can you please take him his tefillin? Because no one could get into the prison except for Rabbi Aryeh Levin. That's how he was always allowed into the prison. He had his ways of getting in. So Rabbi Levin said, are you ready? He said to the father, and this is a father but a son. He said, what about a meal? If you bring me food for him, I will take him his tefillin. The food in the jail is not going to be kosher. Your son's going to need physical sustenance. Are you only worried about his tefillin? Are you not worried about the fact that he won't have breakfast? To the father, he said, if you bring me a meal, I will also take him his tefillin. It's so powerful that during this time when we look at our fellow Yid, we have to say, what does that person need? Not only does he need in ruchnius. Sometimes we're too worried about someone else's ruchnius level. They do it this way, they don't do it that way. How could they think this is kosher? I'm so busy judging. What about there? Invite them to your table. Do you need a place to eat? Do you need somewhere to sit down? Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over in his Parsha Parables about Mendel Kaplan Zatzal in his old age when he was traveling, and he once arrived in a town after a long night of travel, and he made it for Shachris. He made it for Shachris, and he was very tired. So he sat down by a lot of the parts in davening where you're supposed to be standing. So after the minyan, one man came over to him, and he said, is everything okay? I noticed that you're sitting when you should have been standing. So Mendel Kaplan said, are you really worried about me? If you were really worried about me, you would have asked me, do you need somewhere to rest? Do you have lodging? Do you need a place to go for breakfast? Do you need something to eat? Do you need something to drink? Don't worry so much about why I am sitting. You're not the Ribbono Shel Olam. Worry more about my physical sustenance. Maybe that's why we pass Yisrael. It's unbelievable. It's a lesson in Bein Adam Chaveiro. When you take your bread, make sure it's with the kavana of including others in Yisrael. Does that Yisrael have pas? Or am I only worried if their tefillin's kosher? Does that Yisrael have a place to eat? on Sukkot, or am I only worried how Mehudar his Esrog? Oh, look at it, it's so cheap. How could he have bought that? I don't think it's kosher. Take out your magnifying glass, start examining. Maybe I can't eat the romaine lettuce in his house. Maybe it has bugs. Maybe she didn't wash her strawberries. What are you worried about when it comes to the other yid? I'm not saying people should be over on Averos. Chas v'shalom. There's only one die in her MS, and it's not me. It's not you. And it's not Yishmael ben Netanya either. It's a Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to be makbir on Pas Yisrael during this time. We need to make sure we can go into Hat A and into Hat B. We need to make sure my fellow has a place to eat. My fellow has food to eat. If you want me to take the tefillin, I just read the story last night, sort of Aryeh Levine. If you want me to take the tefillin, then bring me breakfast for your son also. Maybe hashkafically, this is why Knesset Yisrael has accepted upon themselves Pas Yisrael. You want to eat entomint, it's okay. I'm not saying if you want to be machmer, again, I told you, I'm not telling anyone what to do. You want to do it in the middle of Kislev, okay. You want Dunkin' Donuts instead of Sufganiya from the Jewish bakery, okay. But we're not tricking Hashem, we're not tricking ourselves. We're putting a picture over the mantle. That's you? That's a person I really can be. The person full of Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Hashem, who can have a synthesis between not only their Bein Adam L'makom, but also their Bein Ad Mechaver, who can rectify the sin of murder of Jew and Jew when they could not sit down at a meal together. We dafka have Pas Yisrael metaphysically, psychologically, hashkafically, emotionally, religiously. Invite another Jew to your table. If you, Rashi says, by Sukkot, if you are Misameach mine, says Hashem, Ger, Halevi, Hayasam, Alman, Asher, Bisharacha, if you are Misameach mine, says Hashem, I will be Misameach yours. So, Ezra Hashem, we should all be, I wish you all a Gamar v'chasima, Tova, a final Gekka bench to your. Thank you, everyone.